this is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode number 14.
The Parent Chronicles, part two.
Anyway,
I'm Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe. Thanks for joining us for Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going.
So Matthew, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you rate as the ultimate parent of a teenager?
Oh, wow. I did not see this question coming. Do you want my answer or my kid's answer?
your answer, I think.
Oh, you know, I think I would put myself on the maybe 6.5, 7 side of the scale. I think I'm better than some, but I certainly think that I have my own deficiencies, and I've made my share of mistakes and probably have a few more mistakes yet to come.
Okay.
But I'm giving it my best. Giving it my best go.
I know you are. I know you pretty well. I don't know your kids too well, but just the conversations we had, I'm sure you're doing an amazing job parenting your teenagers.
Again, it's not for lack of effort.
I think it's mostly because you have a great wife.
I think you are 100% correct. I think you throw my wife in there, we're probably more on the 8.5, 9 scale.
Yeah, okay.
Me alone, probably in the 6.5. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I admire you as a parent. I think you do a great job.
I would love to hear my kids' opinion on that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we should, in a future episode, put our kids on here.
And oh, no, no, no.
No, let's not do that. What about you, Steve?
I think sometimes I feel like I'm an 8 or a 9.
Sure.
And sometimes I feel like I'm about a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
There are some times when I feel like I am a loser as a parent. I compare myself to others a lot.
Absolutely.
And I get kind of discouraged. I see families that have raised these amazing superstar kids, you know.
Yeah.
They all get into Harvard and the Naval Academy at the same time.
MIT, yeah.
And, they're astrophysicists, they're lawyers, doctors. They are, you know, working in some third world country, rescuing girls being trafficked. And they're just doing everything all at once.
Absolutely.
And I just think, I love my kids. But those kids are so amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
We had these friends, acquaintances really, a girl that I grew up with actually went into the mission field. And she and her husband had 4 sons, and we used to get their newsletters. And I would read the newsletters, and they're a dear fan. I would read these newsletters from the mission field, and their kids were amazing, amazing.
Absolutely.
Rock stars.
Yeah.
And I was so intimidated by it. And then I ran into her a few years ago. And they're young men now. They're in their 20s, later 20s, and they've had some struggles. And can I confess?
You can. It's a safe place here, Steve.
I don't wish this on them, of course. I want their kids to flourish. But a little part of me deep inside thought, they're not perfect. Thank goodness they're not perfect. I feel better about myself now because they're not perfect either.
Yeah, because when we play that comparison game, Steve, and I know you know this now, when we play that, we're comparing apples to oranges. We're comparing our kids and our parenting style, which we know quite intimately, and we know the good and the 8s and the 9s and the 2s and the 3s. We know that against parenting where we're only seeing the 8s and the 9s.
Right. We're only seeing what they either tell us, what's on social media, what we see on the outside.
It's filtered.
And who knows? Who knows what's going on the inside?
Absolutely.
And who knows what's going to become of it all in the end.
So. The reality is, we talked a little bit about it in part one. We talked about this incredible gift that we have as youth workers to have this window into watching people parent and being able to learn from those who are doing it well and do great things and those who... You know, not so much.
And people are learning the same from us. They're watching us in our parenting, and they're thinking, wow, those Andersons are great at parenting. Or maybe they're thinking, well, I'm going to do everything different than them because they are not doing well at this.
As wonderful as that window is, what you and I both know, because we've now been in it and been through it, it's not a guarantee for knocking it out of the park. It's not a guarantee for success because I could sit here. I won't. For the sake of myself, my wife, and our own children's safety. I won't tell you all of the ways in which we've just blown it, you know, that we've just made it. And I think what that's done is that has brought over time, and again, staying in ministry long enough, it's brought an empathy for other parents who, there are times where I just, I get so frustrated with watching a parent do it, but at the same time I go, but for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, I get it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a new appreciation for, how hard it is to parent teenagers.
I think that's one of the roles I've started to take on in youth ministry now with my younger leaders is helping them develop some patience for parents in certain situations. You know, why is this family always late turning in their registration form? Well, because they've got 8 kids playing on 12 sports teams and they're both working and life is crazy. You'll understand someday when you have kids how hard it is to keep on top of everything. So, I think we learned some lessons along the way.
Absolutely. Well, we still have a few parenting styles to go through.
Yeah, some stereotypes that we've placed. They're not fair and they're not complete, but they at least give us a starting point to talk about.
Conversation and some challenges that they produce for us as youth workers.
Right, how we can do our best at helping to shepherd them and get their kids involved in youth ministry. So first one for today's episode is the under-involved parent.
The drive-by parent.
Yeah.
The parent whose kids are jumping out of the car while it's still moving at the curb at youth group. Kids that we have in our ministry who we don't know their parents at all.
Yeah.
Because they're just not involved.
There's a couple different kinds of this. I think there's the parents who maybe they're not Christian or they have no real involvement or history with the church at all. Somehow their kids got plugged in, which is awesome.
By a friend or whatever.
Right? That's we love when that happens. But we don't know those parents at all. And so they're dropping them off or they're sending them with, you know, the neighbor who's picking them up. And they don't have any investment in youth ministry.
Right.
That brings up certain challenges.
Yeah, as long as their kid doesn't come home hurt or sad, they're just happy as a clam that they're involved in something.
Yeah. So it's harder to get those students involved in some of the deeper things of the ministry, like a missions trip or a conference or a camp maybe that costs more money.
Sure.
Because they don't understand even what we're doing.
Right.
So that's a challenge.
Absolutely. I think the challenge is to how do we pull those people in?
How do we connect with them?
Yeah, how do we connect with them?
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't. No, actually, I mean, I obviously I do. I mean, I think it requires a greater intentionality.
It does.
You've got these communication methods where you're communicating to all of the parents.
Right.
But to understand that a parent like that, a drive-by parent, an under-involved parent, is really not going to, that mass email about the retreat that's coming up, they might not even read it, let alone understand what's behind the words that are in there, as opposed to the parent who's in the church, who's involved, goes, they see the thing, the retreat's important, I get it. I think we have to be more intentional and more direct with some of those parents.
I agree.
That we don't know very well.
It might require personal phone call.
Absolutely.
Personal note, email, directly to them. I think one thing that can help kind of break down any walls that exist is just celebrating their kid, telling them, hey, we're so glad that Susan's been coming. She's so cool. Thanks for sending her. Thanks for entrusting her to us every Sunday night. I think that can begin to at least build a little bit of a bridge.
Absolutely. I mean, we just even this fall, we had at this trio of freshman girls that sort of just showed up there. We know their connection points because they're connected to some other kids, but they're pretty new to the ministry and just all in. I mean, they're just having
a blast.
And they're just phenomenal, just full of life. They're just great.
Yeah.
And when the mission trip information came out, we're going to Peru this summer, and it's a big deal in our group, and everyone's all talking about it. Like, they just got caught up in the excitement, but we've never met their parents before. So what parent who's not met me is going to put their freshman daughter on a trip to South America? It's just not going to happen. And
a good parent, that's for sure.
That's true, absolutely. And so I know that there was a tension, a frustration for me.
Where have you been, Susan? I've been in Peru. I didn't even know you were going.
Exactly.
Oh, Dad, it was great.
Until I realized, wait a minute. Yeah, what? I don't know if I could respect a parent who would send their kid up for Peru without ever meeting with me. And that was on me. It's not on them. It's not their responsibility to come connect with me so they feel comfortable sending their kid to Peru. That was on me, and it didn't happen. And so I've been challenged that, okay, I got to find those students whose parents I don't interact with regularly or even know and find a way to yeah, personally contact them to at least begin the process. So that when that next year, when their sophomores in Peru comes up, we're in a completely different place.
And right.
Like, yeah, this is Dave. This has been great for them. Let's do this.
That's such a good thing to think about. I'm terrible at that because I'm an introvert, and calling people on the phone is like, I hate calling people on the phone. And so, yeah, I don't think I've done the best job at this, but I'm challenged to really make that an intention and try to connect with some of these parents of the kids who are coming that we don't know who they are.
Yeah, because I think their students' involvement in our group is only going to grow if we've got kind of connection with their parent.
That's absolutely true.
And so that's the challenge, I think, for all of us as youth workers is to identify those parents and do what we have to do.
And it's not always going to work.
No.
Some families are not going to care. And that we have to understand that too and be okay with that and make the most of the opportunity we have with that student when they are part of
it. Oh, absolutely. I know there's been nights that I've kind of stood out in the pickup circle, you know, where I've gone outside on a nice spring day and thought, you know what, let me just, you know, I connect with parents that I know, but then if there's a kid who's been coming, I want to go up to that car. And there's been multiple times I've walked up to the car, hey, just wanted to, you know, put a face with a name, want to introduce myself. And sometimes it's warm and friendly and lovely, and sometimes it's like, get away from my car. It's super awkward. Like, look, I'm just here to pick my daughter up, and I'm glad she's coming, but do not talk to me. Do not call me.
Do you ever have those conversations, and you've already met the parent somewhere, and you're like, hey, it's nice to meet you, and they say, we met last month at the football game.
I've had that happen before. This is a danger, but we have to get past all that. Worrying of awkwardness because their students' involvement in our group is only going to grow as we connect with them. So we have to reach out and not be frustrated by them, but be intentional with them.
Yeah, that's good. What's the next one?
The next one. This is a tough one because this is a parenting stereotype that can cause a lot of pain.
This is like the opposite of the first one.
Yeah, this is
the over-spiritual. The parents who, I don't know, they're just super churchy, and they're really serious about everything, and maybe don't catch the spirit of youth ministry sometimes with all its chaos and fun and laughter and goofiness.
Yeah.
And for them, everything is just super serious.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so that parent is probably often going to challenge you as a youth worker.
Yeah.
And they're going to challenge you in probably a condescending
possibly so
tone.
Yeah.
At least in my experience, this parent has often approached me in a very, I know far more than you do about the spiritual growth of teenagers, and so let me share my wisdom with you on how you should be doing things.
I think when I was younger, I was really intimidated by this kind of parent because I felt like, oh, maybe they really are more spiritually developed than I am, and maybe they know the Lord so much deeper than I do. And I guess I'm still a little intimidated at times because I have a pretty chill personality, and we've raised our kids in a pretty relaxed home environment. So I still get intimidated by them, but I've also come to realize that they probably aren't as far down the path as they might think they are.
Or may want you to think they are.
Yeah, and the number one characteristic for me of a spiritually mature person is humility. So when I see humility, I'm put at ease with that person.
Sure.
Even if they are pretty serious. When I don't see the humility, then I realize that's not maybe what it appears to be.
Guards go up.
They may not be as...
Get on edge a little bit.
They may not be as godly as they think they are.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess I'm just saying I am a little bit intimidated by this, but less so than I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's our opportunity to maybe help the student in a way that they really need. Because I think they need that balance of outside the confines of their super spiritual home, of just being able to kind of relax and enjoy their relationship with God.
Sure. Too. Absolutely.
And so we can play a part in that.
Absolutely. I think the youth ministry plays a significant role in their development. Otherwise, we wouldn't, wouldn't be doing this. But I think it also, because it's often going to come with the tone of condescension or a tone of arrogance.
Here's what you should be doing.
We're definitely going to have our, you know, every now and again, our fists are going to go up because we're ready to fight or we're ready to go. But if we can push past that, we have this opportunity to allow it to challenge us, to challenge us to look at everything that we do,
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, what role does it play in the spiritual development of that kid or all of the kids? How are we going to do that? To make sure that we're doing things with great intention and with the spiritual growth in mind.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think constantly evaluating what we're doing is good, and allowing people who have strong opinions, usually people that are deeply involved in the church, right, to speak into the way that we're doing things, it's probably valuable to us.
Sure.
If we're willing to not be defensive about it and take what they say, wrestle with it, maybe implement some things, maybe not, have good reasons for everything.
Yep. I've been challenged by our senior pastor in the past, not just individually, but he's challenged the whole church on this, about this idea of, you know, when somebody brings something to you, and regardless of the manner they bring it to you in, how you react to it is completely up to you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the opportunity to stop, take a step back, maybe assume they mean well, which is not always the case, I understand that, but they assume they mean well, and say, is there anything that there's, is there a truth somewhere in what they're saying that actually I need?
Yeah.
And if I can get past sort of how it was presented to me, I can find the truth. But see, if I never get past how it was presented to me, what an arrogant, I can't believe they were so kind. I might miss an actual truth that might help my ministry get stronger or be better. And so that's a challenge that I face often.
And I think for the younger youth worker who's going to be naturally intimidated by, say, a parent 15, 20 years older than they are, maybe it's an elder in the church, or maybe it's another pastor in the church who's coming to you in kind of a little bit of condescension, but I know something you need to know manner. It is an opportunity to learn from them. I think it's good if we have somebody on our team, maybe, who is older than us, or has more experience than us, and we're not intimidated by that person, to allow them to wrestle with the things that are being brought to the table.
Sure.
Just to get another voice.
Absolutely.
The parent's voice, your voice, and then a third party's voice as part of that conversation, I think it'd be really helpful.
Yeah, and I know that there have been times where just in talking to you, you know, I've kind of said, this one person said this thing, and you've been able to say, well, you know, there's actually something, because you're not hearing it
objectively,
from a you're hearing it objectively. You're not emotionally involved. There was no condescension to you. You're just hearing the raw material going, well, actually, they have a point.
Yeah.
You should probably consider that. So to have those voices in there that help us get past that condescension of that overly spiritual, you know, parent, and go, there might actually be something in there for me, and for, especially for the ministry.
So I'm saying, I'm 52 years old and I still get intimidated by the over spiritual parents. So if you're intimidated by them, it's okay.
It's not going away. Yeah. That's why we need to find a way to get past it, so that we can, you know, take anything that's truth in there and apply it and make our ministry better.
Absolutely. Next we have one, it's sort of similar in a sense. This is probably the one that is the most difficult for me.
Yeah.
And we labeled this the diminishing parent. So let us explain a little bit about what we mean by that. There are always going to be parents who are part of the ministry of the church, who are involved in the church, who don't really see the value of youth ministry as we're doing it. And that's hard.
Very difficult.
That's hard.
When you're giving the better part of your days, the better part of your life, to build something that they go, not really that important.
Yeah, we're raising our kids just fine without the youth ministry. We don't really need you.
Yeah.
That's a hard place.
That's a difficult, difficult place to be.
Yeah, I don't have the answer to this one. Sorry if you're looking for answers today. No. We don't have any.
Yeah, this is more of a, we need some help today.
Yeah.
Because I think this can show up in a couple of different ways.
It can.
I know that we talked offline about, you know, the parents who are at church, maybe even meaningfully involved in the church, and they have kids, and they never come, ever.
It drives me nuts, Matthew. It drives me nuts. There's different reasons for it sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes it's, my kid tried it for 3 weeks, and they didn't feel like they were connected, and I think,
you gotta give it
some time. Who makes a friend in three weeks? Sometimes it's because they don't trust us, which drives me crazy.
Yep.
Sometimes it's because they've put other priorities out there with, you know, scouting, sports, academics, and they're championing that too.
Yep.
And so they've diminished this amazing, beautiful thing that I've given my life's work to create, right. And it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to parents who have said, yeah, Sunday night's kind of like our family night. That's when, you know, we kind of hang out and do stuff. And I think, okay, I get that. Yeah. I get that. I mean, I know that as a family, it's tough to find those times. And if that's the time you've had, but I still feel like you're just saying, like, look, it just is what you're doing is not that important.
Yeah.
We're not going to make any sacrifices for it. If the stars align just right, yeah, sure, sounds good. We'll send them along. But, you know, if it's going to be hard, I mean, I've had parents that say, like, look, man, Sunday, I'm so tired. Like, we all get home from church, have our little lunch, and then I'm in my pajamas and just kind of doing stuff around the house, and I still want to drive again.
Yeah.
I don't want to drive them up there. I'm thinking, I've given my life to build this thing that you won't put a pair of sneakers on and drive 10 minutes down the road to drop them off at. Like that, it hurts my heart.
So here's confession time for me. I'm really good at speaking into this to the crowd, but I'm not good at speaking into this one-on-one with this parent. So for example, when our fall retreat comes up every year, and there's always those parents who are so hesitant to send their child on the retreat for whatever reason, the kid's shy, they feel like they don't have any friends, what if they don't have a good weekend? I'm like, it's 40 hours, your kid will deal and be great. Give it a shot, because what are the rewards, potential rewards? So I've created this thing I post every year called 8 super fantastic reasons you should send your kid on the fall retreat, right? And I send that to all the parents. And it's awesome. You should borrow it.
I should.
Maybe I'll put it up on the show notes.
Maybe put it up in the show notes. Freebie for our triple listeners.
Yeah, but it's really hard for me to call up this parent and say to them, hey, here's what I really think, and you should strongly consider this. I'm still kind of, I don't know, I find that difficult to do.
I've been better at that, probably in the last.
You're more direct than I am, so
I'm a little more direct personally. So I you know, when we're doing some of the bigger events, you know, or even, you know, this kid hasn't come in forever or ever. You know, we'll make these little lists. Like, we need to get to those. And
I'm
getting much more comfortable calling that parent and saying, hey, you know, I noticed Johnny isn't signed up for the fall retreat. You know, what's going on? And then when they list, you know, their many woes of why they can't go on the retreat, I feel like God has put me in a position to maybe speak into that. Now, I can't browbeat them into making their kid.
Of course
That's
not
going to be good
not.
For anybody.
No.
But I think I've been given an opportunity at that point in time to speak truth into their life of, like, this matters.
Yeah.
This has the potential for greatness, not only for your kid individually, but for our group. And our group will be better if your kid is there.
I say that all the time. We're not complete unless your kid is part of our group.
Cast a bigger vision.
Yeah, but I just think about what they're missing out. I'm missing out on the relationships with our amazing volunteers, missing out on the experiences that we provide to get out of their comfort zone, to serve the Lord, missing out on student leadership opportunities that our student leaders have incredible chances to grow these gifts in music and leadership and stuff. It's awesome. Who wouldn't want to be part of that?
Right.
One thing that I have been able to do, I think this might be something to consider if you struggle with this, is try to encourage other parents to be your soapboxes in this way. When they're having conversations, the parents who are really supportive, to use them as champions for your youth ministry with other parents is really
great
important.
Idea. Yeah. Then it's peer-to-peer.
Yeah, exactly. We're really blessed at our church. The senior pastor on occasion has said things from the pulpit like, hey, your kid needs to go on this retreat. My kids went on this. Trust me, send them.
Send them.
That's super valuable.
That's great. Absolutely.
When I preach, man, no holds barred there.
Sure,
I'll let it fly because it's to the crowd. It's easier to preach for me to the crowd than it is speaking it one-to-one. But yeah, just look for opportunities to kind of build just the positive culture around your ministry in the church.
Other voices.
Can help maybe speak into some of these families.
Absolutely.
But this is hard for me.
Yeah, this is one where I think, you know, as I've been thinking about that this morning, I've been thinking, like, we have to be confident in our own walk with Christ.
That's true.
That this is what we were called to. Mm-hmm. This is what we were supposed to do. He's gifted us for it. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything we can to make it great. And the fact that Johnny and Susie don't come doesn't change. It hurts.
That's true.
And it does feel, but it doesn't change the fact that this is what we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to give our best to it, and we're supposed to and not obsess over those two that aren't coming, and the versus the 20 or 40 or 80 or however many your context is that are coming. Our confidence has to be in our confidence has to be in God and in what we're doing. But
it'd be a good future episode, maybe talk about the ones who don't come.
The ones who don't come.
Yeah. That'd be worth a whole episode, I think.
Yeah, because it can be tough.
Which brings us, we're going to end on a positive note.
We've been super negative, like seven terrible parenting styles.
All the parents that make you want to quit youth ministry altogether.
But yet, almost every youth ministry has the superstar parents.
Yeah, the ones who love everything you do. Oh, they support you wholeheartedly.
You couldn't do anything wrong.
I love these parents. They are the best.
And they're the ones who say, "What do you need anything? Yeah. You need somebody to open the cafe? You need somebody to make the pizza? Can I sweep the floor?" I mean, they're just so over the top excited about what's happening that they'll do anything for you.
They'll send you the message in September asking you what your schedule is for next summer's trips because they're planning their vacations and they want to make sure that their kid participates in your youth ministry. Oh, these parents are the best.
We love these parents.
So celebrate these parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just give them glowing praise every chance you get.
And when you get an email from them, create a folder on your computer, save it, just so that when you get the other emails, you can go back and read the other one to counterbalance it. Celebrate these guys. Make sure people know how great they are. Mm-hmm. These parents are not only our champions, they're the ministry's champions.
That's right.
You know, they're the ones that are going to take the drive-by parents and the diminishing parents and maybe pull them in because, hey, that's a person just like me raising teenagers and they're all in about this thing. Maybe I should get a little bit more involved.
Yeah, it's really a great opportunity. I've got one of these parents now. She used to be one of my youth leaders and she stepped down with her daughter in high school. But we had a Bible study at her house, and she was inviting every neighbor to come to this thing. She just went all out. She didn't have a lot of success, and she was pretty discouraged by it. But man, I just told her, I am so thankful that you tried, that you made this effort. Your heart in this was tremendous, and you know, don't take it personally that people didn't come. It's okay. God's going to honor your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would just... I would kill to have 100 of her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've got this mom right now, and she's the superstar. Like, what do you need me to do? What trips do you need me to chaperone? Where do you need me to go? How can I help? I'm not coming to be a youth leader. That's not my place and my gift right now. Mm. But what else can I do? Actually, emailed me the other day and said, "Hey, I was reading this book a friend of mine wrote called Tweetable Leadership. I read this quote, and I thought of you." And it was Aww. This, and it was what was it? I'm trying to think of it now. It was "I've got good news and bad news for you. I will never ask you to do anything that I won't do. The bad news, I'm willing to do just about anything." And she sent it to me, and she said, "This epitomizes your leadership style, which is why I love that you're in charge of the ministry here."
And that was nice.
Like, I have literally been floating on that for probably 4 weeks. I mean, it was, and I'm sure she didn't think anything of it. That's just a part of who she is. Like, I want to find ways to champion it. Well, it's just, I don't know, I'm floating. Like,
that's awesome.
I could use 100 of that kind of parent, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. So I hope that you have a superstar parent in your youth ministry.
Or two or four.
Or 1,000 of them. It's such a gift. They make the best food.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chip dip for the Super Bowl party. I mean, they're always there for you.
They keep us going. That's really great.
Absolutely.
So a lot of challenges. And as you think through these different parenting styles, think about things that you can learn from each, things that you want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you want to avoid doing,
right?
As a parent yourself, and just realize that they're all going to be part of your ministry forever.
Absolutely, not always going to change.
Yeah, and there's 1,000 others that we didn't identify today.
Didn't even cover. So,
but it's challenging.
Yeah, there's challenges for us in what we can learn from them, but there's also the challenge for us to have some compassion and some empathy. We've talked a couple different times about that, about understanding no matter where you are, younger youth worker, older youth worker with teenagers, like we just have to understand that parenting teenagers is not an easy gig. And so, and again, we want to be able to speak truth into their lives, but we also got to cut them a break every now and again.
Matthew and I can both attest that we suck at parenting, and yet God has graciously allowed us to be decent parents.
Absolutely.
And it's all about what he's done, not what we've been able to do.
Absolutely. So hopefully in our role as youth workers, we can help other parents become decent parents and avoid some of the people we talked about in the last two episodes. And maybe we can create a few more of this last one we talked about, a few more superstars. Lots of things to think about. I'd love to, you know, invite you guys into the conversation. What are some of the parents that we didn't talk about that you have to deal with? And what are ways that you've dealt with some of these kind of parents?
Maybe you have some good stories to share. You know, if you join our Facebook community, you can share them there privately. So you can say anything you want, and nobody will know who you're talking about. It won't get back to them.
Yeah, don't put it on the Youth Ministry Sherpas page. Go into the Youth Ministry Sherpas group so that we can have Bosom of the Family talk.
Yeah. You know? Insider Chronicles. So thanks for listening today to Youth Ministry Sherpas. We hope that the Parent Chronicles have been helpful for you. And we will be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Sherpas out.